stay at the beat.
Yeah.
Ready to take down crime and look good doing it. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Like an 80s cop drama.
That's what it does sound that way. That was New Order, and the song is Touched by the Hand of God.
Oh, well, it's totally different than what I thought it would be.
Yeah. But the reason I picked it is because in the music video,
yeah,
Bill Paxton is in it. A young Bill Paxton, yeah, is in the music video.
I was mentioning the Devo thing, too. Wasn't he in, like, a Devo video or something? Something going on with that.
He might have been in a Devo.
Let me see what it... I'm going to punch that in. So, Bill Paxton passed away. Big bummer, man.
Not... Really sad.
I was downstairs working on something in the basement, and Bobby came down, and she said, Bill Paxton died. She said, I saw on my Facebook or something, Bill Paxton died. And Bobby always gets names of celebrities wrong.
Yeah.
She doesn't know who celebrities are. And I was like, you can't be right. It's not Bill Paxton.
Not Bill Paxton.
It's not Bill Paxton. And she's like, no, I think it is. She's like, if they'd have shown a picture, I wouldn't have known. And I don't really know who Bill Paxton is. I'm just saying the name.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
You're saying it wrong. Get it right.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, that can't be right, but I'll look it up. And sure enough, man, Bill Paxton passed away at 61 from complications from heart surgery. Man.
That's rough.
That one's a bummer, man. We've had a lot of celebrity deaths in 2016, and now we're into 2017. This one, man, it really, really bummed me out. He seemed like a super nice guy in real life.
Never heard anything bad about him.
Everybody that had a, you know, film roles with him that is coming out now is just talking about what a great just guy he was. Yeah. In all the interviews, he always looks like he was having a really good time doing what he was doing.
Yeah.
And like events that I've seen in like clips of him at panels or whatever, he seemed like he genuinely enjoyed the fans and what he was doing. Yeah. So. Big bummer, man. And he was in so many movies that we count as our faves.
We're going to go through some of those tonight. And that'll be... I think we'll do that first, probably.
Yeah, let's do that first.
And then we'll have some Toy Fair
talk. Post-Toy Fair talk, because Toy Fair's happened. Okay, so... Bill Paxton. I think that the first roles I remember him from are more bit parts.
He did a lot of bit parts.
A lot of cameos.
But they're
stuff.
All memorable.
Exactly.
That's, yeah.
Terminator as one of the punks.
Yeah.
With the, you know, the tire track tattoo thing on his face. And in, you know, it's more of less of a bit part in this, but in Weird Science as the mean older brother Chet. I thought Chet was so funny as a kid. Like that was one of the funniest things about Weird Science to me was Chet. And when he turns into the monster and...
Weird Science is a good movie, but anytime that comes up with anybody, that's who
everybody
they talk
thinks
about
of Chet.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chet is the memorable character of Weird Science for sure. And then, you know, as he starts to get into larger roles from there, and it's not so much a large role, but you see him and recognize him more in it. Like, oh, that's Bill Paxton doing this.
One that comes to mind for me automatically.
I know where you're going.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Is the exact thing you're talking about.
Yep.
Is True Lies.
Without a doubt. True Lies.
And that's
him
the first...
that sleaze bag.
I probably had seen him in other stuff before that, but that's when I started to know who Bill Paxton was.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's the guy from True Lies.
Yeah, yeah.
So good. It's
so great.
It's so funny.
He is he plays such a sleaze bag and plays it so well. And when he pees himself,
he's always got this look on his face, like his eyebrows are like quirked, like he's like he's what a spy beyond himself, and the way he's schmoozing.
Oh, it's great!
It's so good.
He's on the phone. And he's moving the
yeah
gun
the dartboard
around.
The dartboard, acting so cool, and then
so cool in that scene.
The drive with Arnold is
just it's great,
man. It cracks me up still. He's so good.
On the same level where he's not so much like the star, is Aliens and Hudson.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not, again, he's just one of the Marines, but he's a standout because of the way he acts and his lines and his facial expressions. And I mean, that's probably one of the most quotable lines in Aliens is the game over, man, game over.
Yeah.
When you think of Aliens and lines that you could clue other people in on, it's going to be game over, man, game over. And next to Hicks, he's probably the most memorable of the Marines, too.
He plays a trepidatious or cowardly character a lot, and he's really good at it. But I don't think that doesn't mean he can't do the other.
Look at Tombstone.
He was great in Tombstone playing Morgan, the youngest Earp brother.
Who they take a stand before Wyatt does.
Yeah.
They kind of convince Wyatt to take the stand afterwards. Great death scene in that movie, like when he's been shot and he's dying on the pool table.
He's got a lot of quotes in that movie, too,
yep.
that I find myself saying. Me and Nate are always using Tombstone quotes, and you're the one, Wyatt, and all. It's all Bill Paxton stuff.
Yeah.
He's doing all that stuff in the background, but... Titanic, which, you know, it really wasn't, that wasn't about him, but that was a kind of a lead role. And Twister,
he is the lead.
It's the movie I think of when I think of him in a lead. He's
going back to Titanic. It's, you know, before, because Twister's a big one, so let's, to Titanic, you know, the driving force of Titanic is the story of, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet in the past. But for the role he has in that, he does it really well. Like, it's memorable, his aspects. They would be just like throwaways if it weren't Bill Paxton in those scenes, doing those scenes, the capper and the beginning and the capper of the movie. Without him in that role, I don't think you would even remember that aspect of the movie. You know, like...
Could have been anybody.
It would be just a past Titanic tale as opposed to also the quest of this guy to find this thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he did really well in Titanic. But onto Twister, that's his big, big starring role.
Yeah.
And me and my sister, that's probably the movie we quote to each other the most.
Really?
We
Twister?
We love Twister. Yeah. We're all the time sending text with quotes of Twister lines.
I did not know that.
Twister was one that we both thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's another movie that my sister and I enjoyed on the same level.
Yeah.
Next to Twister, it was, and that's a very quotable film too.
Yeah,
I
rented that quite a bit when it came out.
And it, you know, they did this. The Weather Trackers did a tribute to Bill Paxton.
Oh, okay.
They had all their weather tracking devices go and form the initials BP across multiple states, which that movie really did put that on the map. You know, weather trackers and the guys that chase storms and risk themselves for that thing. And he did it so well, man. Again, he gets in these roles. He's a great, you know, he doesn't come across as always being, I love Arnold, but Arnold is Arnold in his movies.
Yes, totally.
Sylvester Stallone is you know, and
pretty
and
much,
a lot of cases is Sylvester Stallone in his movies. Bill Paxton becomes those characters as he goes along. He does a very great, or he did a great job of, you know, you recognize him as Bill Paxton, but you can't peg him into one thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you were saying before, like he plays a cowardly character here.
Lots of comedy roles.
Here.
Great comedy.
Yeah.
And great serious roles.
Yeah.
Did you see A Simple Plan?
I didn't see A Simple Plan, no. And there was another one, Frailty, that people were telling me.
Frailty. I'm sure that I saw that, and that was really good and an interesting subject matter.
Yeah.
And I hear that he directed that as well. Frailty.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Near Dark, that's another one that people kept bringing
up
to watch.
Simple Plan is... really good, and
really?
He plays it straight through that. Billy Bob Thornton is in it, and he gets in this predicament, and it just keeps getting worse and worse for him. And it's so good. It's such a compelling movie, but once again, he sells it. Top-notch actor.
Totally.
I mean, not just...
Predator 2.
He's
great in Predator 2 as the Lone Ranger guy.
I can't remember...
Yeah, he's the guy that comes in from another department to transfer over, and he kind of acts kind of full of himself, and... but he has kind of an evolution as the movie goes along.
I don't remember. I have to watch Predator 2 again, but it's you know.
And everybody gives him the bit of trivia of the only actor to be killed by an alien, a predator, and a Terminator.
Yeah.
You could make the argument that Lance Henriksen also has that distinction if you consider Bishop killed by the Alien Queen.
Yeah.
But he's still kind of active. But then so. Well, let's just let Bill Paxton have
Bill,
it. Let's let Bill Paxton have that.
Bill can have it. Predator 2. He was in Navy SEALs. Just looking through some things I wrote down. Hatfields and McCoys.
He's been.
I can't remember if he was the Hatfield or McCoy. But
you look through the list, and it's just like, man, he was in a lot of films. Commando. He's got that bit part in. It's just. It's kind of amazing how many times he shows up. Oh, Club Dread. That was the C, and I think it's Broken Lizard. Is that the guys that did Super Troopers? It's their next film where it's like it's a resort thing, and he plays sort of a Jimmy Buffett-esque character, and he is hilarious in it. I mean, we saw, and that says a lot when you're going up against the Super Trooper guys. Yeah. When we saw it at the theater, I could not stop laughing at Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
He was so funny. I got to try and find a picture of him in that movie. You keep going with what you're saying.
Well, he plays great comedy. I only wrote down movies that I thought would things that would be relative to the show here, but there was such a big list, and I filled a page. He was also in Edge of Tomorrow, the Live, Die, Repeat.
Look at him in this film. He was very, very funny. Have you seen Club Dread?
No, I didn't see
it. You need to see it just for Bill Paxton, because he is... quite funny in Club Dread.
Maybe some of his clips will be on YouTube.
Maybe you can check out a clip or two on the YouTube.
YouTube.com, the channel.
On YouTube.world.
Okay.
So, it, again, and the listeners, too, if you haven't seen Club Dread, it's worth watching just for Bill Paxton. That one stands out to me as being very, very funny from him. And he's not a major role in the film, but again, the bits that he's given, he makes everything out of them. I mean, great actor. Really a big loss.
Really a big loss. And he was, man, I hate to see people, I hate to see anybody die, but I hate to see people cut off too soon, really, you know? Like, he's still active. He had a TV show going. Yeah. And
he was
going
to be, they're doing the sequel to Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he was signed up for that.
Oh, okay.
And he was even talking to the director, like, I'm going to get this, I have to get this heart thing done, but I'll be ready. Oh. Ready when you guys are to start filming, obviously. That's not going to happen now.
Man.
Yeah, 61 is young. Like, it's young.
It really is now. Yeah, it is now.
Real shame.
Real shame. Really sorry. Real sorry to see him go. It's game over, man.
It is game over, man. Which, I mean...
I think he would appreciate
it. I was going to say the same thing. It may seem in poor taste, but I think he would be...
Yeah.
He'd be okay with it. Yeah. You know? All right, so that's the downer note. Let's move past that. And then we'll move on to some Toy Fair talk here.
We are snack-free in this place.
No, there's some strawberry shortcake rolls in there if you want something sweet.
I'll take a strawberry shortcake
They're in
roll.
There. I brought them in today.
What I wouldn't give for a Mrs. Freshley's, though.
Yeah, I'm good on that. I'm good on that. So, there's a couple of movies now that I got to check out, though, after talking about this. I want to check out that Near Dark. I want to check out The Simple Plan. Okay, so New York Toy Fair just happened. That's one of the two big toy events of the year. We've got New York Toy Fair, and we've got San Diego Comic-Con, where people show off what they're going to do, or companies show off what they're going to do for the year. I will say that this year felt more lackluster than anyone I can remember.
Oh,
there were a
man.
Couple standouts.
That's sad, because we've said that every year.
I think so. Yeah, when I was thinking back on it, I was like, did I say that the last Toy Fair? But this one even more. You know, every Toy Fair, as long as I can remember, I've been excited. I'm going to get this, and having to decide what I can spend money on and what I can't spend money on. And this year was very much a thing where I think I'm good. You know, like, I'm not going to be buying that much stuff. I don't have to really worry about budgeting or picking and choosing, because there's not that much stuff that I really am super duper excited about.
Nope.
It's sad, man. I'm sad.
There's a lot of stuff.
Like, there's a ton of stuff, but not a lot that was like, there was one or two major wows, but not to the point where it was like, I almost wanted to call somebody and just say, like, dude, did you see this? Or send a picture like, wow, this is really awesome. I can't wait for this. I think that the surprise level was not as huge too. Like, there wasn't a big shock and surprise outside of the NECA DC thing.
Yeah.
There wasn't one that I was like, didn't see coming at all. Let's start with NECA. Because again, I think that they're consistently the best people at Toy Fair, best company there. And again, they did the same thing this year. They're the best company there.
I always go for to look at what NECA did.
Yeah, they're always at the top of their game. However, I will say that they didn't have as many jaw-dropping reveals as they have in previous years. I think the big one is the announcement of the Versus line, which is incorporating, you know, two properties versus each other. And they made a deal with DC Comics to be able to do a Batman versus Predator, a Batman versus Aliens, and a Superman versus Aliens. And those are great. Mm-hmm. Those Batman and Superman, the standard ones, and even the armored Batman, put anything Mattel has done to shame. Yeah. And anything DC Collectibles is doing kind of to shame. They look amazing. Cloth capes, good articulation, great sculpts, classic standard Batman, classic standard Superman. I can't wait for those two packs. I don't even care about the Predator and the Alien as much as I do having that Batman and that Superman.
Oh, you'll get them.
Although the Predator looks great.
Yeah.
I loved that Batman vs. Predator comic, that first mini. I used to take my Dark Knight collection Batman and put the armored pieces on it from the Bruce Wayne to Batman to pretend it was...
It's a good way to pretend.
...the armored Batman from the Batman vs. Predator comic.
You may do.
I'd have him posed with the Kenner Predator, and now here it is. Here's the pack exactly as I always wanted it to be, with that armored Batman and that good standard Predator. Those look great. Really, really great.
Really nice.
Outside of that, with NECA, the Evil Dead stuff was really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about the Ash versus Evil Eddie. That pack looks great. It's great to have a good standard hero Ash out of them that looks... It's got a great articulation, extra head sculpts.
They should short pack him and put a bunch of Deadites out.
That's what they should do, yeah. They should just heavy pack all the Knights and Deadites and only get you one... Chainsaw Ash or something like that. That'd be really
cool.
That's
how to succeed.
It is a little frustrating, too. I think a lot of people... I'm cool with it because I want the Evil Ed, but then it's a two-pack. Again, you can't just go buy just Chainsaw Ash.
Right.
You've got to buy the two-pack. They did put out a really nice Ash back when they had the Evil Dead 2 line, but it didn't have the articulation like they've got nowadays.
That was a different...
It had like a
I don't even joint. Think of that as the same company, honestly.
No, I mean, that one was still pretty decent.
Yeah.
It had one of the V-joint crotches, but it did have knee joints. But, yeah, they definitely stepped up their game quite a bit since that figure. And it is kind of a bummer that people have to buy the Evil Ed to get the Ultimate Ash.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I
don't need an Evil Ed.
Yeah, you're not going to want to spend $40 just to get that Ash. Get that thing.
Is there a hair? I don't know what it is.
It's pretend. It's mime. Right. You're a mime. You're doing make-believes.
Yeah.
Okay, outside of those two, though.
Yeah.
Not that much going on, really.
Yeah.
That I can think of. They showed the Turtles, but we've seen the Turtles before.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of Turtles before.
Yeah. The movie Turtles are insane. We've gone over it before. They're great.
Yeah, they look great.
And they showed that they're going to make the baby versions.
Yeah.
From the stop-motion sequence. Or puppetry sequence, whatever.
Full baby turtles,
puppetry, not stop motion. What am I saying? So they showed those, and they said they're going to figure out a way to get those out. Those are great. They showed. I'm trying to think what else they showed. Like, I don't remember anything horror movie related. I'm assuming that they showed some more Predator and Alien stuff, maybe, but I can't remember anything that really grabbed me on that front.
They had something horror movie related, I
thought. Maybe a Chucky? There was a Chucky.
Yeah, it was a Chucky.
They showed a Chucky there.
And a Gremlin. There was a Gremlin.
Yeah, the Gremlin. The Mohawk Gremlin non-video game version. That's cool.
They're really cool, yeah.
The Rocky thing is what kind of threw me, because they were, talking about a big announcement for Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is exciting. Maybe they're going to do some more stuff that they hadn't done before. And and this is neat for people that enjoy it, but it's just the maquettes
from the Lipton
based on
iced
the Lipton
commercial?
Iced tea commercial, which I guess they bought the puppets from Stallone. We did an auction,
okay.
So they had the actual puppets, and they're producing them from those puppets.
Puppets,
which is cool. And if you're a big Stallone fan, it would be really neat to have them on a shelf. But to me personally, it wasn't thrilling.
Yeah.
It wasn't exciting because it's not something I'm going to buy.
Yeah,
you know, I think I would have more liked just more regular figure announcements for Rocky.
Right,
it's neat, and it shows that they're willing to do different things with licenses. That's cool, but just I'm saying as personal taste.
Yep.
It maybe wasn't as huge as I was hoping it was going to be.
How about a Mickey action figure to go with the rest of the line that they put out?
How about that?
That would be cool.
I would like that. How about maybe like a training Rocky? Instead of just Rocky in all his different shorts outfits.
Yeah.
Maybe like Rocky from Rocky IV.
Maybe do his standard street clothes.
Maybe, like him and his mob enforcer type
like Jax
outfit.
Did.
That would be cool. Maybe him in the gray sweatpants when he runs up.
There you go.
You know, I know they did him in the retro style, but nice to see him in the regular figures. Not a big guy on the retro style figures.
You know I'm not.
I know you don't dig him.
You know I'm not buying those Bill and Ted's.
But again, though, NECA, what they did show was the coolest stuff, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The next coolest thing, and I don't want to step on your toes here.
No, wait a second. I've got a couple things that are a little bit... did NECA do the... Are they doing the giant foam things? Is that NECA?
Giant foam things. Like, what do you mean? Like, the life-size figures?
Or? No. They did a...
Oh, the Thor hammer?
Somebody did... Okay, a giant Thor hammer.
Yeah, that's NECA, and I don't get it.
And a giant foam batarang.
Yeah.
That is it's 4 feet wide.
I don't get it.
For what?
I saw the Thor hammer, and I'm like, why would somebody want a Thor hammer as tall as them? What is this for? The Thor hammer's not that big.
Right.
I didn't get that either.
Is it for your giant cousin? Is it for our biggest fan?
Is it for Giant Kid with Mom? Is it for that?
Maybe.
Is it for our biggest fan?
Is it for our biggest fan? Is it Chris Henderson?
Chris Henderson. He is 10 feet 3, so it might be normal size for him.
So, like, for something, like, I could almost understand having something scaled up, like a scaled up model of something that was smaller and has a lot of detail on it, so it looks cool. So maybe the hammer has some detail on it. I didn't even look at it, but the batarang was so, like, such a waste of space to me. It's just a big blank. It's just a big bat shape.
Yeah, I really don't get it.
What do you do with it? Are you hanging on the wall? It's made of foam. It's made of Nerf material. Yeah. What?
I saw the picture of the girl standing next to the Thor hammer. I was like, this is...
Are you gonna
so odd?
Are you gonna throw it?
Yeah. Again, they're trying different things, but this seems like a weird thing.
That seemed like it was off base for NECA. Like one of their kids came up with it, and they couldn't tell them no, and they said,
"I don't get
okay,
it."
Okay, well, yeah, we'll do.
I really, I'm completely agreeing with you. I understand making things a smaller scale,
right? So that
like
you can
if you have a half scale Thor hammer. If you don't have a lot of room to display stuff,
right.
And you want to have a cool Thor hammer sitting there,
a small
half scale Thor hammer is kind
of
cool,
made of metal or something like that. Yeah,
that's neat.
But to scale it up by four times
doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah, like you said, it's not.
It just seems odd to me. Maybe there's some people to dig it though.
I guess.
It seems odd to me. What was the, really was there odd. Something else you wanted to say on that? Or?
And it's also, it's like, we're putting out a Thor hammer and a batarang.
Yeah.
There's a DC and a Marvel character, one of each, they don't have anything to do with each other.
Yeah.
It's like weird.
What about like a 400% cap shield?
Yeah, what
would you do with that?
Why don't you put it, it's a giant foam circle with
a patio umbrella?
You got a star on it.
You use a table.
You use it as a toboggan.
Yeah.
Sled down. Sled
later,
in
later, dudes.
I would buy that. I would buy a sled.
I would buy Clark's sled from from Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
In 400% scale.
Yeah.
So I could get me and all my friends on it.
Yeah.
And then we could all say to each other, later, dudes.
Later, dudes. At the same time. And take off. Yeah. Shine that thing up. You're going to need a lot of that wax
later,
or whatever.
Dudes. Yeah, that was weird. I agree. I'm glad you brought that up. I totally forgot about that.
I kept seeing it, and I was just like, I didn't want to click on it, and then I finally read it, and I said, "Wait a second, this is a 4 foot."
This is
like,
strange.
Why?
This
what is
very
this?
Strange? Who's doing these things?
Okay, so that was something. What did you have something?
The next coolest thing, in my opinion, at the show was the Funko Batman 66 line.
Yes, that's on my
Those
list
here. Are cool.
Really cool.
Those are really cool.
Really neat.
Good scale.
Mm-hmm.
I like what Funko is doing. You know, Funko and Super 7 worked together in Reaction, and now Super 7 has taken Reaction back, and they're just doing the Reaction on their own. And Funko is doing their own 4-inch line that takes some of the ideas of Reaction, but then takes it a little further. They add in the knee joints. The sculpting's a little bit better and more in line with today's sculpting, but still trying to do that kind of retro figure thing. I think that they're superior figures to a lot of what they were doing as Reaction.
I saw the packaging, too, and they're doing, like, these, like, different shaped cards. They had, like, circle cards.
Yeah.
There,
well, they did Game of Thrones. They had, like, kind of an interesting bubble in the front. And then I think Suicide Squad had, like, the circle bubble type thing. But the Batman 66 line, that's a great license for this style. Because it's kind of quirky and a little campy, you know, and kind of a little oddball type stuff. And I think it's a good scale for these. The scale works for that, too, because you can do playsets and vehicles, which is great for Batman 66. Because you think about the Wayne Manor, and you think about their Batcave and the Batmobile. It's such an integral thing to that show that it's perfect for that scale, and it's a great license to use this for. And I think that Mattel did an okay job with their Batman 66 stuff, but you know they were almost trying to make them too modern. You know, they were trying to add in all the joints with the hips that swiveled out, and they just kind of did the same thing everybody does when you think of Batman 66. It's Batman, Robin, Joker, Penguin, Riddler, Catwoman. That's always it. But whereas Funko is right off the bat going, okay, we're not going to just show that we're just going to want to do these guys. Here's Mr. Freeze in two different actor forms, and here's Bookworm, and here's King Tut, to let you know that they're all in.
Right.
And we're not just interested in just doing the mainstays and being done.
Right.
We want to do a full, complete line. Doing the Batman and the prototype outfit, like the test footage outfit.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Really cool.
That's really cool. I think the sculpts are cool. I think the Batmobile looks cool. I can't wait to see them do a Batcave if they have that in the the works. And the price point hopefully will stay around $10 a figure.
Yeah.
Those are cool.
That's something that I could definitely see myself picking up a Batman and Robin at least.
Yep.
And
if the Batmobile's priced right, getting that, because it comes with Batman and Robin.
Oh,
the Batmobile does.
If that's priced right,
then
yeah, I'll be having
that's
that.
That's a really cool pickup.
I
would like to see more stuff done like that, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of licenses that could work well for that.
I agree. Speaking of reaction in the split, they showed some stuff that I liked all of it. I don't know if I'll be buying any of it.
I'm right there with you.
The Toxic Avenger stuff is kind of cool.
Those are cool. I like that they did the Toxic Crusader color, too.
Right.
They did movie color and Toxic Crusaders. Right.
Robotech and...
Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes is the one that I think, like, maybe...
That's probably the one that'll get me.
Maybe I could pick one up.
I hope that they find a venue other than just the online shops.
Yeah.
Because that's a kicker for me. I love those He-Man figures.
Yeah.
Just don't want to go online and buy them. Like, I want to just be able to just go into the store and buy certain things.
The He-Man looks good. I haven't seen any of that stuff. Is Barnes & Noble not carrying those anymore?
I don't think so. I think they
sat on a bunch of them, yeah.
If it's something just Super 7 did, because they did the He-Man wave, they did the second He-Man wave already.
Right.
Never seen any of those because it's Super 7 on its own and not Super 7 Funko. Because Funko has all those, the doors open to retail outlets.
Right.
I don't think Super 7 on its own does.
Right.
Because they've done those, they've done the Hellboy figures, and I've not seen any of those.
I see.
So, I'm afraid that, the Planet of the Apes is going to be, you got to buy them online.
Once you pay for shipping, and it's like,
then it starts
you got to really be excited for it.
And I want to be able to see them. I don't want to just see a picture online.
Yeah, that's the other thing. There's something that impulse
buy
almost, like you get it there, it's in your hand, and you're like, okay,
then it's like, okay, $10 I'll pay for this.
I'm taking this with me.
I'm going to get this.
I'm not going to hunt it down.
It is cool that right out the gate, they're doing Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, that's a smart move. You got to get a Taylor in the line. Everybody wants Taylor. Those are the big missteps in the NECA line.
Right.
It was not doing Taylor. And they showed a mutant from beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we're not just getting just apes.
That's cool. I hope they get around to a Taylor in his
astronaut
outfit or something.
Yeah. Not just slave Taylor.
Loincloth Taylor is a little bit.
He does appear in the movie more than
for
that.
For most of it, yeah.
Yeah. But it is cool to have astronaut Taylor. Those are, and again, that's the time period that would match close to those figures. I mean, the Planet of the Apes movies are a little bit before we started getting that style of figures.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's close,
really close enough.
They're also doing that reanimated. Did you see that?
The alien.
Yeah, well, it's a whole line. It's called reanimated, so it's like reaction scale style and like articulation style. But done in an animated sculpt style.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they're called reanimated, and it applies to a couple different licenses. They had a Predator shown as a control art, an alien sculpt, Ripley control art, Ripley in a spacesuit, a Planet of the Apes, ape soldier, maybe, I think it was. But most of them were just control art, but I think there was a sculpt for an alien there, and a sculpt for a Ripley.
I saw a couple aliens, and I saw the Ripley I saw was just Ripley as was released, but in a more...
No, that's for the alien line.
Okay.
Because there is that. There is more alien stuff coming.
Right, okay.
There's Ripley and I think Dallas, maybe?
Yeah, Dallas with a jacket
and
like a
Lambert
white
Lambert and Brett in like
outfit.
Their normal... Parker, maybe?
and Ripley's in her green, the suit is green.
So there's that. They're continuing that, which is great.
That's cool.
That's going to be the most robust alien movie line there is, you know, to cover all of the different crew and their normal outfits. Blaze is super excited about that because he collects all those.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a separate thing where it's, they had a sculpt there for a xenomorph, I think it was, but there's in a slightly animated style.
Hmm.
Okay. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. You know?
I think that another company tried to do that a while back, and that was where they did like an animated Darkness and Witchblade and somebody else, where they tried to do animated style applied to a different license that really wasn't animated. And those looked cool.
That's okay. It's too bad, you know, just happens to be Witchblade and Darkness.
But, yep.
Do you know if they released that Aliens Ripley single card?
They did not. It's only in that pack.
Okay.
That pack is awesome.
It is really cool, though.
I've checked out Blaze's, and it's...
Yeah.
The Alien Queen's real cool. The Power Loader's really cool. And really that Ripley's awesome.
Okay.
That's a cool set. You might want to think about using some of your birthday money for it.
Maybe. Maybe I'll
get
some
birthday money.
Maybe I'll get birthday money.
Maybe your mom will give you some birthday money.
Maybe.
You never know.
Maybe I'll skip out on some other things I need to do.
Hey, if Mike's mom still listens to this, why don't you give him a little bit of birthday money?
Come on, Mom, please.
Give him just a little bit of birthday money.
Mom?
How much are you going to get for my birthday this year? $10?
$10?
Anyway, I can get that early?
Yes.
The good old days. Okay. So, I think that covers that, right?
Yeah, that covers those.
Super 7?
Well, they have another line called The Worst.
Yeah, those really are interesting. Really cool looking. That's like a creator-designed, or artist-designed line of...
It's like these monsters. Yeah, like this, those are neat. Weird,
very interesting.
Really cool looking.
Cardback art.
Yeah.
Really neat.
Yeah.
Again, that's something, though, that I needed to be at a store.
Right.
I can't buy those online.
I need it to not be $10 and $15 a piece, too, because...
I might even be willing to pony up $10 if I see one of those in person.
Yeah.
But I can't just...
I don't know anything about the
I can't get online property. And do it. I can't pay the shipping and get them here. I gotta I gotta see that in person. Ninja Turtles.
Well, they have.
I didn't look at a ton of these... But Keaton really likes that Turtles animated line. It's a great cartoon. Muck Man, which he's been on the cartoon. I love the old Muck Man figure. It's cool to see him. And they do a good job of making the variants make sense for the Turtles line and kind of incorporating it into the show. They're doing the, just like the old line, they're doing the Universal Monsters type figures where the Turtles become monsters. And like the Michelangelo looks like Teen Wolf, which is very smart. And I guess they're going to incorporate that into the show again. So whenever I see that they're doing a variation, I'm like, I wonder how they're going to make it make sense in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But they're cool-looking figures. Right? Those Monster Turtles, those will be tempting for me to even pick up. Yeah. Like the Teen Wolf Michelangelo, that's a pretty cool idea.
Pretty cool.
But again, nothing show-stopping there. It was just like, that's some cool stuff. But
right.
What do you got?
Well, I think this was at Toy Fair, the Sideshow Jack Burton. Did they show that at Toy Fair?
I think they put up the final pictures during Toy Fair, but I don't know if they were actually at Toy Fair.
Okay. Well, I've seen some things.
He looks great.
I saw some things that may or may not be Toy Fair, but yeah, he looks great. I don't, you know, buy Sideshow stuff, but...
I just got their Ash. I got their Evil Dead 2 Ash, and it's the first Sideshow I've picked up. I picked up Batman. I got Batman, and I think that was the actual last Sideshow figure I got. And Batman, that had been a while before I'd picked up a Sideshow before. Up until that one, I used to get a lot of their Star Wars, but I didn't. I stopped for a long time ago on that. I picked up the Batman, and I was pretty impressed by it. I thought it was good. I was really disappointed in their Beetlejuice. Like the pictures of their Beetlejuice were bad, and people posted pictures of it. And it was bad, but I put Ash on pre-order because I was like, man, this looks pretty good, and I got him, and he is great.
Yeah,
like the sculpt is great, the paintwork's great. He is an awesome. Awesome figure. So if the Jack Burton's more in line with that Ash, I'll be tempted to pick up the Jack Burton.
Yeah.
It's kind of light on stuff he comes with, though.
Oh, is it?
Ash was, I think, $240.
Yeah,
which is a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money to put forth. I was doing things where I'd put a little bit on if I had a little extra cash, I'd put it on a Sideshow gift card.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly I built up enough that I used the gift card to buy Ash.
Yeah.
So I was able to piece it out. And he came with, you know, Henrietta head and the possessed hand. He's got that chainsaw hand, which is a lot of detailing goes in that. But Necronomicon.
I bet he comes with the book, the Necronomicon book of the dead.
Necronomicon. So, you know, overall, he's a pretty intricate figure, especially with that chainsaw hand. It was a really well done chainsaw. Jack Burton has his outfit,
a knife,
a jean jacket, the knife, the gun, and the floating head thing.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well,
and he's $240.
Well,
I don't know if I can do that
again. The check is in the mail.
The check's in the mail.
The check's in the mail. That's from the movie.
It's from the movie.
The Batcave with the Alfred from DC.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
DC Collectibles, I wanted to talk about them a little bit here. That is awesome. The Batcave, I knew they were holding off on Alfred for a reason. That something was happening with Alfred for them not to have done him yet. And I kind of assumed it would be like a Batcave computer or some kind of multi-pack that they put him into. But I had no idea it was going to look that cool.
Yeah.
That is awesome
looking. I mean, it's not a full cave, but it's enough to get several figures on and have just a really nice looking display.
Yeah. It looks really cool. Yeah. And if they're the Batmobile and the Batwing are any indication, the lights are going to be really cool on it. It's going to be a well-made toy.
Yeah.
It's not going to be brittle or break or something like that, because those are really nice, the Batmobile and the Batwing are. But him and a Joker expression pack, that was it.
Yeah.
That's all they revealed for animated, and that's like their big line right now for DC Collectibles. Is the animated stuff. That was it.
Yeah.
Nothing else?
Kind of sparse.
They had just revealed that I'm still kind of ticked about the way they did this 5-pack. Did you see the 5-pack? The Arkham
5-pack? No, but I know they did. They kind of screwed everybody before.
They screwed everybody before.
Yeah.
They're screwing everybody again. The Bane that people wanted was the Batman the Animated Series Bane. The Poison Ivy that everybody wanted was the Batman the Animated Series Poison Ivy. The Mr. Freeze that everybody wanted was the Batman the Animated Series Mr. Freeze. The I'm trying to remember who else is in the pack.
Probably the Scarecrow.
It might have been Scarecrow, but I don't think it is.
It's probably Killer Croc. It's probably the Time King.
Killer Croc that everybody wants is the Batman the Animated Series Killer Croc.
The Time King.
It's the Time King. It's the Time Lord. So they take all those and put it into a multi-pack with Montoya instead of single carding them. So you've got to buy this $200 pack.
Right.
If you want Mr. Freeze, or if you want Poison Ivy, most people are going to want them all, but it stinks that you got to buy them all together.
Yeah.
Why? And you know, a year from now,
they're going to re-release
single card Mr. Freeze, single card Poison Ivy, and they'll probably come with stuff that you couldn't get in the multi-pack.
Right.
But you can't take the chance. You've got to buy the multi-pack.
And if the multi-pack doesn't sell, they'll be like, well, nobody cares about those characters.
I guess we don't need to release them after all.
I guess it's time to put out the Time King.
Man, DC Collectibles, you got something good going. Why you got to mess it up?
Why
you got to play this game?
That seems like the MO for a toy company. It's just they can't just leave.
They can't leave well enough alone.
They can't have, we have a great line going. Let's just put out figures like people have always, like.
Let's just put them out single carded and get them out there. People are buying them like this, and they're enjoying them like this. Let's make them like this. No, let's go ahead and do this multi-pack. That's the only way you can get these characters.
What if we screw with it a little bit?
What if we mess with people just a little bit?
What if we screw with it a little bit? What if we really put them over a barrel here?
Why don't we...
This has been going a little too easy, Bob.
Yeah, this has been kind of fun for people to collect.
I gotta tell you, when it's going too easy, when you're making money and it seems easy, something's wrong.
We gotta make it... Speaking of which...
Something's up.
Mezco.
Yeah.
I like their 1/12 collective figures.
Yeah.
They're a little pricey.
Yeah.
But they're really cool. Yeah. Really well done. Jason Leonard messaged me about this last night. He said, did you see the mess up, the horrible mess that Mezco did today? I'm like, no, I didn't see anything.
He said, go
check it out. They got a Punisher figure coming.
Okay.
Right? They're doing two different versions, like a previews exclusive and a regular one. But they're not classic Punisher. White boots. The plain white skull. It's more modern Punishers. So at Toy Fair, the Toy Fair exclusive they revealed was going to be this comic style Punisher. They said they sent an email newsletter. I never got one. And yesterday at 5 a.m. They put up the 400 Punishers they decided to do and immediately sold out.
Right.
So anybody that was collecting the line and wanted the classic Punisher couldn't get him for the $80 they had him up. Now he's $300, $400 on eBay because they didn't limit him. So anybody that was on there, any scalpers that wanted to go and buy as many as they wanted to buy, could buy as many as they wanted to buy. And they just completely burned all the fans by doing it this way. Why would you do that? Why would you make the version that most people want? I may be speaking out of turn. I may not be able to back it up, but I'm pretty sure that most people want classic Punisher.
Yeah, with the white boots and the white gloves.
When you won Punisher, that's why Marvel Legends, that newest Punisher was classic Punisher, and that's why it sold great, and everybody loved that figure, is because people want the classic look of these characters. They don't want an artist rendition of these characters. That's why people are kind of dogging the Sideshow stuff so much, is because it's Sideshow's version of them,
right,
and not the classic take on these characters. Why would you do that? Why would you make it only 400 and 5 a.m. in the morning?
Mezco.
Bad move, Mezco.
What if we screw with this a little bit?
What if we, you know, people enjoying this. What if we made it so that the version they want, they can't have? Unless they're willing to pony up $300, $400 on eBay for it.
Whoa, Tom, what are you doing? Well, I'm just getting ready to click send on this this mass email to all of our customers
don't
to let them
that.
Know. Don't let them know about that.
Don't do that. You know, cut down the email list to maybe two or three guys.
Maybe just send it to like three guys.
Maybe send it to three guys that have never ordered.
Remember what we decided last night? We were going to screw with this. Well,
pick those guys because we know they don't have any money. They're not going to be able to buy it. Just don't send it. They've never ordered from us before. We've checked their carts. They load it up. They get to the checkout screen, and then they don't do it because they don't have money for it. Pick the guys whose carts decline. Send the email to them. We know they can't buy it. Send it to just to them. Okay? it really seems like a backwards way of doing things, man.
Yeah.
And it seems like these companies would know by now that doesn't help it.
Yeah.
It just angers people.
It's not good.
It just makes people mad.
It's not how I do business.
It's not how I do business. I will say that the stuff they showed was great.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff. I think that Popeye is awesome. I don't care about Popeye that much.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to buy that figure because it's so cool looking. I think the Ash is great. I think that the Wolverine looks cool. The Dark Side is amazing. So many cool things they showed. I was disappointed to see, you know, outside of Ash and Popeye, such a heavy load on Marvel and DC again. They have Universal Monsters, and all they've done is Frankenstein. Nobody else is doing Universal Monsters right now. Diamond Select kind of stopped. You could put out a really cool Karloff mummy.
Yeah.
You know, and we haven't had a high-end one of those in quite a while. You could put out a really cool Lon Chaney Wolfman.
Yeah.
Haven't had a high-end one of those in quite a while. Something to match this Frankenstein you just did. But instead, it's just more Marvel and more DC.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing Marvel and DC.
Everybody is doing Marvel
Everybody is doing Marvel and DC.
Everybody. NECA's
doing Marvel and DC. Hasbro's doing Marvel and DC. Sideshow's doing Marvel and DC. Mezco's doing Marvel and DC. Marvel Select's doing Marvel. DC's been doing it. Come on. You've got one or two licenses that aren't Marvel and DC. Get some more of that stuff out there.
Well, you know, Tom, you know, people haven't had enough Iron Man. It's a new suit. What if we had an Iron Man that looked like it was from the movie?
You know, we still have that Universal Monsters license, and all we've done so far is Frankenstein. I think people might want, like, you know, maybe a Bella to go see Dracula?
I think...
No.
They only saw Frankenstein.
Why don't you take those resources and put them towards Doctor Strange?
What if we had another Spider-Man
figure? What
about
Doctor Strange?
What about Dr. Strong?
What about Dr. Strong?
Dr. Strong.
Dr. Strong. Hold on.
Whoa.
I forgot to hit the mute button on that. What about Dr. Strong?
What if we do a Dr. Strong?
That was Mezco calling.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are interested in a Dr. Strong? We know that NECA's going to do a quarter-scale Dr. Strong, right?
What if we do one?
So take the Universal Monster money and put it towards our Dr. Strong.
Let's do a Dr. Strong.
Dr. Strong. Disappointing.
What if we do a Captain America that looks like it's from the movie?
What about a Captain America?
Hey, wait a second. If we're going to do a Cap, what about the whole team? What if we do a Iron Man?
What if we do Iron Man?
Put him out in a suit that looks like the new Power Rangers suit.
It's doing the Vision.
Ah.
We'll do a Vision figure.
Okay.
You know? Hey.
These haven't been covered before.
Does anybody do anything with Marvel and DC right now?
I don't think so.
I can tell.
I don't think so.
I don't see anything. Let's put some out. Let's take all our resources and put it towards that right now. Okay, we'll do Popeye and Ash. But that's it. Everything else, all the rest of our money goes towards Marvel and DC right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of... Yeah.
That's one of the big problems with Toy Fair. So much superhero stuff, man. I like superheroes.
Yeah.
I'm burnt out.
Kind of burnt out.
I've had enough.
That's enough. You have several movies a year, and each one has a big toy campaign that go with it, you know, merchandising and everything, and that's been going on for...
A while.
Quite a while now, and...
I would be excited about NECA's quarter-scale comic book Daredevil and NECA's quarter-scale movie Doctor Strange... that was like all the superhero stuff that's happening right now.
Yeah.
But there's not so much superhero stuff.
That's a lot of stuff.
I can't even take it all.
Speaking
of real quick, Diamond Select.
Let's talk about Diamond Select for a second.
Diamond Select. Okay.
Are you going to say what I'm going to say?
I might say what you're going to say.
Okay, say it.
Zach Oat was very kind to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He was really cool. Talked to us for a while. And, you know, I like what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I appreciate that they go after licenses that maybe some of the bigger companies aren't going after. I think their Ghostbusters line is amazing.
It was great.
And they're going to continue it into Ghostbusters 2.
Okay.
With a build-a-firehouse facade this time. And they showed Viggo, and he looks great. He puts the Mattel version to shame.
Viggo Mortensen.
And they showed control art that they're going to do Janosch.
Okay.
Nobody's ever done Janosch.
Yeah.
That's cool.
If I were to bring the baby.
Yeah. Could I have this woman? Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want Janosch.
Yeah, get a
I can't
Janosch.
Wait to get a Janosch.
No, you have to get him.
But, and I'll let you, because you probably are going to, I mean, I think this is where you're going with it. There's some things where it's maybe past the point where we need it.
Pulp Fiction?
Mallrats.
Oh,
Mallrats. The Mallrats are out now, but I agree with Pulp Fiction.
I like, you know, Pulp Fiction was a great movie when it came out.
And I wanted figures back when it came out.
I wanted figures when it came out.
I don't know how much of a...
Don't really care now to have...
I don't really need it. The only thing I'm looking at the Bruce Willis for is maybe, like, what can I make with this
Right,
Bruce
what
Willis?
Can I make out of it? And the articulation for those, for some reason, looks a little chunky. Like, maybe it's prototype stage, and maybe there's other things, but they showed Bruce Willis and Ving Rhames, essential characters.
I think those prototypes have been around for a while, too.
Oh, okay.
I think maybe that's why they look a little chunky.
I feel like we got those figures already, and maybe we didn't.
We didn't. But I think they showed them a long time ago.
Yeah.
They talked about this line a long time ago. But I think it's finally happening. Like, it's finally going to actually make it out.
That was the thing. It was like, I should be excited about it, but
I'm not.
But I can't see myself paying
$20 to watch Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. I tried to watch it a few weeks back, and it was...
It is really good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
But
I think that I'm past the point where I would need a figure for it, though.
Yeah.
And it's the same with, like, Mallrats. I see those at Toys R Us, and I think, like, okay, they're well-done figures. These are well-done figures. But who is really clamoring for Mallrats figures? Who is going out and buying these right now?
Yeah.
Maybe they know better than we do. Maybe they know, and maybe they're selling them great.
I think there's another Mallrats movie coming out. It's a giant Silent Bob.
Yeah, he tried to get a Mallrats movie going, and nobody picked it up. So now he's going to try to do a giant Silent Bob movie. And I know Kevin Smith has his fans.
Sure.
I'm not one of them.
Sure.
Maybe that's why I'm not understanding why these figures are out.
Right.
Maybe that's it. But yeah, there's certain things where it's like, okay, maybe... And I know a lot of people have clamored for Pulp Fiction figures for a long time, but how many are really willing to buy them now? How many guys are really going to pay for them
now? Tarantino had his run where he was like... brilliant director.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But it's like, that is so...
Of the time,
and then there has been a lot of merchandise. I don't know if we ever got like a straight up figure line, but
we got the reactions.
The reaction figures, and there was the mini mates, and
like some other weird, like almost like a vinyl.
Yeah, there was like vinyl, pop vinyl things, or mezzets or something. I don't know. I don't want to harp on it.
I don't either.
It's fine.
I applaud somebody doing something not superhero.
Yeah.
I do say that. You know, like anytime that we're seeing something out of here that's a big line that's not superheroes, it's like, wow, that's okay, cool. You're doing something that's different than everybody else.
Yeah.
I just don't know how many people are really going to pony up for it. I don't think anybody really bought the Sin City figures they did.
Right.
Because we were past the point where people were excited about Sin City movie figures. Plus, NECA already did a great Sin City movie line.
Right.
Really, what's the point in doing
it again? Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. It's like
Pulp Fiction, maybe a different story because we never had the figures.
Never had a real figure line. You never had like a nice, like good sculpt figure line. So maybe.
And for a long time, I thought it would be cool to have a Jules and a Vincent on my shelf.
Right.
And if I see them, maybe I'll be tempted to buy them, and maybe other people feel the same way. But it does feel kind of like maybe that boat sailed.
Maybe.
I don't know.
We'll see.
Hasbro.
Oh.
What do you have left here?
Well, I just have a Four Horsemen Mythic Legions look fantastic.
Oh, man, those are so nice.
And that's something that it's a giant line. That's something that, once again, if it was in a store and the price was right, I would pick up one or two or three of those, or four, or if the, you know, if they were going to do it, like, I know they're doing like 7-inch figures, but
yeah,
what if you scale those down and make them like $7 a piece? I'm in. I'll pick one of those up every time I go to Walmart. Yep. I'll pick one up.
These Kickstarter lines,
I'm not gonna buy any of them now.
Yeah, and that line just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah. The more pledges they get, the more stuff they're adding on and adding on and adding on. And it's like, it's huge. I can't even imagine somebody that's clicking all in on that.
Well, it's like those cowboy figures that
those were way chicken cool.
Really cool. The only way to get the Lone Ranger type figure that you want
is to get the whole
is to buy all of them.
And I couldn't do it.
At $25 a piece, there's like 30 figures.
And it would kill me to not have that one.
Right.
I think that Bill has done great with his Kickstarters, like Action, the Amazing Heroes. And the Eagle Force stuff. I think those are great because I don't think he makes, you know, incentives and incentive figures and, you know, all in type things. Sure. But it's never the point where I feel like if I don't get that, I don't want the rest of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the way I felt about that Lone Ranger build a piece thing for the Chicken Fried Toys. I was like, man, I would always want that one, but I can't afford to buy them all.
Right.
So I don't really want any of them if I can't have the one I really, really want.
Right.
And with the Mythic Legions, I would really want them all because they all look so cool.
They look great. They're so good.
I wouldn't even know where to start because that line has gotten so big on those Kickstarters. Whereas if I was in a store and I just saw one of them sitting there, I could just buy it and be happy. But
I would, I mean, I could maybe pick out one that I'd want, but I would say, but that one.
Yeah.
But I would want that one.
I want that
one. And what are they, like $40 a piece or something?
I don't even know, man.
I'm sorry.
I know I can't get into it, so I don't even look at the price.
Can't do it. All right. So, but anyway, they look fantastic. Yeah. So,
Bill Murphy's got another Kickstarter thing coming up soon—a Monster Force, the expansion to the Eagle Force line.
Cool.
Looks very interesting.
Cool.
There's only been a couple little things revealed so far, but there's a guy in a suit body.
Okay.
Which the suit body looks really, really good. So we might have to have him back on the show to explain what's going on when that.
Okay.
When that rolls around.
Hasbro.
No Joe.
Right.
Not that I saw, at least.
I'm not surprised. I never see any G.I. Joe stuff except for exclusive.
Makes me sad, man.
Collector Club stuff.
Makes me really sad that they've got this in-house brand that's super recognizable, and they just don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Do a 6-inch line, man.
Yeah. We talked about that on here.
We just talked about it multiple times.
There are people. Well, you got that Snake Eyes from that guy. It was great. Like custom. It was fantastic.
I was super excited to have that. I have tons of different Snake Eyes, but I was super excited about that one because it was something different.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, they're still using them 25th body parts. And
so tired of those 25th style figures, man.
Here's a... They keep... Yeah. Anything that has been in stores has been those, like, 3-packs or...
Or those club-exclusive stuff. Yeah. And it's like, wow, that's great for people that have been with that line for so long, but I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
I'm tired of seeing those style of figures.
They're also using, like the same military bodies and parts to make people, but it's not quite like
not
the
quite
comic
there.
Versions or something.
Yeah.
But they should do
a 6-inch line.
What else did they show? Is there some?
They showed Transformers. They showed a couple Transformers. And Trypticon was really cool. The big T-Rex Decepticon base. That was really neat. No mask, of course.
Right.
Just keeps on being sitting on the back burner. Star Wars.
Well, they. You got to make do. We put out... We gave you those...
We gave you that Matt Tracker in the G.I. Joe line.
We gave you him, and we gave you the Avengers team in the small scale. So,
make
So between that...
Put the two of them together and just squint.
Between that and some Johnny
squint
Lightnings, you could get some put some cars together, get
you're
some Hot Wheels
fine.
In there with them.
You're going to make do.
Make do.
I completely forgot about Mattel, too, here.
Mm.
I think the Mattel, the only thing they showed... What did Mattel even show?
Beats me, man.
I don't even remember what they showed.
No.
Maybe some DC superhero stuff that I really wasn't that excited about?
Maybe.
Yeah, man. Definitely, I don't remember seeing anything Jurassic World.
Nope.
Didn't see anything from Mattel on that.
Nope. They'll probably... Well, when's that movie come out?
That's a while off.
They'll probably wait.
But if they have the license, why not put some stuff out now?
Well, that's what you and I think.
But
too
not
many people
think.
Are just
yeah.
Well, let's wait.
Let's wait it out. But back to Hasbro for Star Wars. I don't remember seeing anything really 3¾ related.
Yeah,
I think the big reveal was the Black Series 40th anniversary line.
Yeah,
those are awesome looking.
Really cool.
Put them on vintage card backs. It's always a way to get me excited about something.
Yeah.
6-inch figures on a card back is a neat idea. When I see that happen, it's cool.
It's cool.
When 3A did it with the Judge Dredds, and when DC did it, or Mattel did it with those Superpowers 6-inchers, I thought they were both really cool. It's cool to see carded 6-inch figures. And it's a good way to get some of the harder to find figures back out. R2's really hard to find. Han's getting kind of tougher to find. Leia's kind of tough to find. And I think that the backdrop thing, where they're doing the early bird kit thing with Vader, and the backdrop to put them all on, it's a cool way to celebrate the heritage and bring it, you know, kind of marry that Black Series line back into the, you know, what you remember for the 3¾ lines. But other than that, nothing really to get excited about.
I think for Hasbro definitely, and maybe Mattel too.
Yeah,
it's just the superhero properties and Star Wars.
Yep.
I mean,
that's it.
They're focusing everything on that, and they can't seem to get Star Wars really together. I mean, not for me anyway. I've voiced my complaints about it here, but
yeah,
you know, the days of Hasbro being like, we're gonna put out all these cool, unique property. I mean, like you're saying, with Mask, and they have Visionaries is a cool in-house line. It's something that they own.
Yeah.
Just put it out.
Just put it out there.
Just put some figures together and put it out. Just
put it out.
What are you waiting for? A live-action movie?
Is that what you're waiting for?
Because let me tell you, that's not going to go well.
Well, something cool that Mattel is doing, and this is beyond cool, that I was kind of surprised Mattel even did it. I was at Walmart the other day, and I saw part of the wrestling line. You may have seen these.
Yes.
The Mattel retro figures?
Yes.
That are for the Hasbro style retro figures, yes, where the card backs look like the old Hasbro WWF figures. The figures are sculpted to match the old Hasbro WWF figures, as if that line hadn't ended.
Yes.
And it had a mix of vintage wrestlers
and new guys.
And new guys.
I saw it.
Those are awesome.
That was really cool.
If I collected that old Hasbro line, I would have been so excited by those.
Yeah.
And here is Hasbro that's sitting on some of the biggest 80s toy lines that could continue those toy lines in that style. Imagine how popular a Star Wars line that continues the vintage line with vintage sculpting would be. I mean, Saga Legends is kind of like that, but really matching those old figures to plug in some of the characters that didn't have, or some of the newer characters into that line that matches what Mattel is doing with those wrestlers, or G.I. Joe, where they plug in some of the missing G.I. Joes in that style, or Transformers, or whatever. Mattel really nailed it with those.
Yeah, that had me looking. I was like flipping through them, and I don't care about wrestling figures or anything, but I was like, I remember these. Those are cool. This is taking me back.
And they're selling great.
Yeah.
Like, every time I go, all I see is like a couple of Brock Lesnar's and like one Kevin Owens or whatever his name is. That's genius. Those, and really well executed.
Right.
Really good job on Mattel's part. Probably the coolest thing I've seen come out of Mattel in a while.
Yeah.
Was those. But, you know, for every one of those, you get all these other missteps.
I don't know why they, like, for Mask, I was thinking for this morning, for some reason, why not just do straight up reissues of things? Like, if I walked into a store and they just said, here's your Mask Rhino, here's a Rhino.
I'd buy it in a heartbeat.
I would say, oh, this is out. Okay, I'll buy this because, I mean,
they're still great.
They're still great, and a lot of people don't have them. You know, like, you could do something slightly different on it to make it so it wasn't do a different color or something, and just be like, you know, like G.I. Joe did that for a long time. Yep. Like, keep reissuing vehicles.
Mattel did it with the He-Man line.
Do it with
Playmates did it with Turtles.
Yeah.
Playmates is still doing it with Turtles.
Right.
You're still seeing reissues of the original Turtles figures, to the point where it's some that's like, why would anybody even want this reissue of this? Like a clown Michelangelo or something. I don't know what it was.
Right. But yeah, they should.
But they're still doing it. Same with Mattel. They have the superhero license. They've messed around with superpowers before.
Right.
There's a whole wave of superpowers figures that got prototyped that never got released.
Right.
If they did those to match the old superpowers figures on superpowers card backs, they'd sell like crazy. Those would be on fire.
Yeah.
If they re-released the old superpowers figures, those would sell great.
Mattel?
Mattel, yeah.
Put out some Secret Wars. Just re-release the Secret Wars.
Do that too. I don't know if they can because it's Marvel.
Oh yeah, they switched licenses.
Yeah, but Mattel could do superpowers.
Yeah,
because they've done superpowers.
Yeah,
with their DC 6-inch line, and they've shown now that they can do that retro thing with that WWF line.
Right.
What's to stop them now from doing this? Right. Do that.
Do it.
That's something Superhero would be excited about. That's something different.
Yeah.
Instead of just the same, here's the same 6-inch line again, with the same sculpts again. It's just they're just happy to just keep on recycling stuff. And
yeah. As long as people are
buying it, they're going to keep on doing that. So that and I think this all adds up to why it was sort of a lackluster toy fair for us. That it wasn't the wow factor of some previous years, because companies are content to just keep on doing the same things. There are some standouts, for sure. NECA being a big one, Funko being another one. But yeah, it felt like a lot of the same stuff. You could have thrown in pictures from last year's toy fair, and I probably wouldn't be able to tell what was really new and what was something I'd seen before.
It's like walking down the toy aisle.
Here's the same stuff.
Just a big blur of shapes. The DC bombshells are pretty neat looking. They're kind of cool. Those.
That's an interesting thing.
I like the idea of it.
I think my exposure to bombshells is on such a consistent basis at the comic shop.
Yeah.
With there being a bombshells comic and those bombshells covers and bombshells statues, that I'm kind of...
You're bombed out.
New to me.
You've been bombed.
You don't see it as much.
I don't see any of that stuff. I mean, I kind of knew it was going on, but just to see like 50s style or like retro style.
That's neat.
Some of those girls. It's pretty neat.
The Icons Death of Superman pack. I thought that was kind of interesting. And had that come out back in like 92, I'd have been losing my mind.
Yeah.
But it seems like that's become the go-to thing for Superman now is the Death of Superman.
Oh. Well, it's the big thing that they had.
It's the big thing, yeah. But Superman's had a lot of storylines, and
yeah.
I love Death of Superman. It's my favorite storyline for Superman.
Yeah.
But at the same time, okay, I get it, Doomsday. I get it. He fought Doomsday, I get it.
He fought Doomsday.
I get it. I get it, guys. Doomsday. I get Doomsday.
Yeah.
I get it now.
He fought him.
I get it.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess that wraps up everything we've got to say.
Yeah, I think so.
About Toy Fair and Bill Paxton for this episode.
Rest in peace, Bill Paxton.
Yeah. I don't think there was... I thought there was something else I was going to mention in this episode, but I don't remember what it was now. Oh, next episode. This year is the Image 25th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
25 years of Image Comics.
Wow.
Really hard to believe it's been 25 years.
Yep.
So Mike and I have picked up a selection of Image Comics from the first years to go back and look at how they, you know, came into the industry and, you know, how those books really made it 25 years now.
Yeah.
You know, what was so hot about those books and so cool about those books that made it so the company can last 25 years.
Yeah.
Give me 1 second. I'm going to go grab those books to let you guys know which issues I've got here to talk about. And you got some too, right? You picked up some?
I did pick up some, yeah.
Hang on.
James has them right over there. Don't worry.
Right over here.
So, yes. So next episode,
we're going to be
talking about Image Comics.
Image Comics.
We're going to run the gamut. The good, the bad.
The good, the bad, the ugly. Toys, the movies.
We're gonna talk about Image.
It's going to be a fun episode.
It's going to be really fun.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun to reminisce about.
Yes.
I was excited about Image.
I was too. Everybody was. I mean, that was, yeah.
So I have a Spawn issue 8. Because I was going to pony up for Spawn issue 1.
Don't get it.
I was one at the comic shop. This is basically what I went in the back issues at Queen City Comics and went, okay, I'm willing to pay that much for that. I'm willing to pay that much for that.
Yeah.
That
cover that you have, those.
This is a great cover.
Kind of iconic.
Yeah, yeah. It's a rehash of his Spider-Man cover.
Yeah.
So I got a Spawn issue 8, a Savage Dragon issue 3 from the original miniseries, and this has Battles Bedrock before they changed his name to Bad Rock.
Yeah.
We've got a Brigade issue 1, where you can actually win this cover. I don't know if the contest is still going or not, but I'm assuming it's not.
Oh, you should put in for it anyway.
A Shadowhawk issue 2.
Shadowhawk.
Extra Spawn lurks within these pages.
Ooh.
To help sell the book.
Yes.
We got a Wildcats issue 1. That'll be a fun one to look at. And a Youngblood issue 3.
Youngblood. Yeah.
I thought that covered the major...
It does.
Opening books. I didn't get a Mark Silvestri Cyberforce, and I didn't get a Wetworks.
I think I've got a Cyberforce at home, and I think I have a Prophet.
Okay, those are good.
And
yeah,
something else.
I'll try and grab a Cyberforce issue too, because that was the other big founding father, Silvestri. But that'll be fun. So I'm going to read those. Mike's going to read those.
And if you have them, you can read
if
them
you
too.
If you got to read them too. Go to your comic shop and dig into the back issue bins and try and pick those up.
Or go to any place that's carrying old comic books and look through their cheap bins. They'll be there.
You'll find them in there. Image 25th. Yeah. Image is everything. That was the big thing. That was, I think, the slogan for a while.
Image is nothing. Obey your thirst.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
All right. So we're going to sign off on this one, and we'll see you guys next time.